Welcome to the Victory Worship Center podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Jody LaFleur. For more information, visit victoryworshipcenter.com.
John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Love this chapter. Love this chapter. There's some powerful truths in this. But I really want to convey some information to you. I really want you to get this with me, okay? So I'm going to work really hard to not just spit out a bunch of words, but really, really help you get a grasp of what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. Let me give you the setting for John 15, because this helps me if I understand the setting of what's going on in this chapter. If you'll remember that the Lord's Supper they've just had the Lord's Supper, that special moment where Jesus, you know, takes the bread and breaks it and gives them the wine, and so there's just this real intimate atmosphere that's happening right prior to this. And then of course Judas is exposed, and Jesus exposed Judas as the one who's going to betray him. And so Judas leaves the room, which I don't know, we read that so often, but can you imagine what a shock that was? I mean, imagine if there's 12 guys and we're all disciples and we're following Jesus, and the next thing you know, Jesus outs one of us as a betrayer, and then he gets up and leaves the room. It's probably like, who, him? Or maybe it was, yeah, we knew it was him. If there was going to be anybody, it was going to be him, right? I don't know what the deal was, but this is the setting. So, and it's really close to the end of Jesus's life, because right after this is he's going to be arrested, right? And so he spent 3.5 years inputting into these 12 guys and just really walking with them, and I mean pouring his life into them and shaping them, and I mean we just tend to think of the disciples as these little ducks following Jesus around, you know, like in a little row, but Jesus really felt the responsibility of them as his pupils, as his proteges, right? And so he has carefully shaped them, and he's getting really close to the end, and he knows he's leaving, so it's kind of crunch time, right? Where it's like, we gotta make sure that these guys have everything in them that they need in order to carry out the work of the kingdom, to fulfill their destiny, and to bring the gospel to the four corners of the earth. So I think there was great care. Can you see that? I mean, at this moment, he's really giving them the good stuff right before he leaves. And so that's kind of the setting. Now, in that setting, let's begin reading in John chapter 15. Once again, with verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. That's another word for gardener. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I love verse 3, now you are pruned or cleaned through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's such valuable information right there, that how he prunes us is through his word, right? That's why we have to be involved in his word. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, do you hear that continual abide, abide, abide? And I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, there it is again, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it will be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I love that last phrase, because the vision here at Victory is every believer a disciple. We want to be a place of people who are learners, people who are moving forward in our walk with God, who aren't just casual and sitting back as believers, but people are moving forward. And so when it says here in this verse that the production of fruit glorifies the Father, and then it identifies us as a disciple. So you want to know if you're a disciple or not, it's whether your life is producing fruit. That's how you know. That's how you know what a disciple is. So there's no doubt that the main point in this passage is the bearing of fruit. And we're going to get to what that means, because that can be one of those Christianese words. We say, go bear fruit, guys. And we're like, okay. Not sure what that means, but all right, I'm on it, right? And so we're gonna explore that a little further and give you some understanding there. But I want to look at the tone of Jesus in this text. I want to figure out what his tone was. In other words, was Jesus threatening his disciples at this moment? Because there's this talk about things being taken away, things being cut, things being gathered, things being thrown into fires. So my question is, was Jesus threatening his disciples? Was he implying that the gardener, who is the Father, who's God, is he this God who's walking around with those big pair of loppers roaming the garden? Let's roll some heads. Show me some unproductive branches. Is God angry and roaming around waiting to find someone that he can cut off? I don't believe that's the tone. I don't believe that's the heart of our Father. And I don't believe that's the tone Jesus was taking at that moment. Because if you look at the previous chapter and in chapter 14, you'll find that Jesus was saying, hey guys, I'm about to send you the Comforter. That's what he said in verse 26. And then in verse 27, he says, my peace I leave with you. He says, don't be troubled and don't be afraid. So here he is in chapter 14 saying, guys, listen, the Comforter's coming. That sounds good. Again, I don't know exactly what the Comforter is, but it sounds good. I mean, and he said, I'm giving you peace and I'm leaving my love with you, and don't be troubled in your mind and don't be afraid. But you better watch out, because God's walking around with the loppers. Ready to roll some heads. Are you tracking with me? So the understanding, I believe, is that Jesus is not threatening the disciples. He's giving them the very key to their own happiness and their own fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. I believe he's introducing this subject of producing fruit so that they can find their own fulfillment and their own purpose in the kingdom of God. But there really is no disputing the fact that the gardener is desiring fruit from these disciples and from their lives. I mean, he just says it over and over again, bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. But again, before we get into what fruit looks like, I wanna draw your attention to what he said is the key to producing fruit. So if this gardener is just determined that we as branches produce fruit, then what is the key to fruit production, to fruit bearing? In fact, I wanna use the word fruit bearing instead of fruit production, because again, production tends to have a striving aspect to it. Again, like, come on, white knuckle it, guys. Let's go, let's produce some fruit. Come on, grunt, strain, Christians, produce some fruit. But the idea of bearing, remember we said earlier that the word bearing means to carry. So it's just, we have this gardener and he's just determined that we as branches, we carry some fruit. But there was a key to fruit production and he gave that to us. And it is this word. It's the word abide. He said it over and over again, abide in me and I'll abide in you. Abide in me. Let my word abide in you. He says abide over and over again. Well, what does abide mean? The word abide means to remain or to tarry, to not depart. It also means to continue to be present. So track with me. He's saying the key to fruit bearing in your life is to abide in me, to not depart. Now the question is, does God ever leave us? But have you ever left him? right? And so what he's saying to us here, he's saying, guys, just stay close. Stay close. Stay plugged in. Stay connected. Because again, the branch has nothing in itself that can produce anything, but the vine has everything in it that can produce whatever we need and whatever the kingdom needs and whatever our destiny is. It's all the responsibilities on the vine, because I can't do it on my own. But if I will stay connected, if I'll stay plugged in, if I'll stay close, then I can't help the fact that the DNA of the vine is running through me and it's producing things in my life. It's producing things in the kingdom of God. It's nothing I'm doing. All I'm doing, I'm just staying connected. I'm just staying close, staying close, staying close. And so I believe what Jesus was saying to his disciples as he was leaving is, guys, I physically am leaving this planet, but just stay tied into this thing. And I believe what God is saying to us today as Christians, listen, stay tied in. Don't just fall into doing church. Don't just fall into doing good works. Don't just fall into doing the right things or being good people, but stay tied in. Plug yourself in. Graft, become grafted into the vine. Stay close, stay connected. And everything's going to be okay. The fruit will come through the connection. Maintain the connection. Maintain the connection. So if this whole thing is about fruit production, fruit bearing, I'm sorry, then the key to fruit bearing is just staying connected. It's just staying connected. You know, last night we were in a community / small group setting with some other believers. It was really rich and it was really beautiful. And a friend of mine was there with me, and we were there, and we started talking about the new small group ministry that we're launching in the fall. And this friend of mine was asking me some questions about the logistics of how we do it and how what's going to be different and what's the structure going to be. And I was doing my best to give him the answers that he needs and that I need to have as the one in charge of this thing, I guess. Somebody needs to have some answers, so I guess it ought to be me. And we were talking, and I was giving him all the answers. But what dawned on me while we were talking is I said, you know what's interesting? Because such community was happening in this environment and there was connections going on between people all over, and it kind of had been for the whole weekend, and it was just a beautiful time of connection. And I said to him, I said, you know what half the battle is? It's just getting people there. If you just get them there and you can have them abide for a minute, ministry's gonna start happening. Life's gonna start happening. We're gonna start edifying and encouraging one another. So we were talking about the strategy and the structure for this small group ministry. And I said, you know, the secret is just get them there. Wherever there is, it really doesn't matter. Just get them somewhere and get them to abide. Just don't leave. And just keep talking or keep playing dominoes or whatever it is you're doing, just keep doing it. Stay in the room. And eventually, it's interesting how community and ministry will start happening. Through that night, somebody ended up speaking up and saying that their air conditioner had gone out. And somebody in the very room said, well, you know, I got air conditioner stuff at my house. I'll go to my house and grab it and I'll fix your air conditioner tonight. So at 9 o'clock at night last night, somebody's air conditioner was getting fixed without paying call-out fees on a weekend. That very thing happened, and people were becoming blessed by just abiding together. All right? And so when you go to this interest meeting that Pastor Brady will be doing, he's going to have answers for you. But let me tell you, what we need, just get you in a room with some other people. And start hanging out and see what God does with it. So the key to community is abiding. The key to fruit bearing is also just abiding. Jesus is saying, listen, so just stay connected with me, and the fruit that the gardener is desiring out of your life will become evident. So the key to fruit bearing is staying connected. Now, the question is, the big question is, what is this fruit that we should be bearing? Now, I must confess to you that when I started studying on this subject, I was really going for the idea that the fruit that we should be producing or bearing as believers is souls. It's about evangelism. And I was going to get up here and kind of rake you over the coals about getting some people saved. Because how many know there's a few people out there who still need to be saved, right? And there's pretty dire consequences to dying without Jesus. And we got the answer sitting right in here, and we don't share it with the people around us. So I was gonna make you feel bad about that, but I'm not. That was gonna be the emphasis on this whole thing of producing fruit. Like, okay, let's be evangelistic. We as disciples, if we're gonna be disciples, we have to be evangelistic, and we have to help other people become born again. We have to spread the gospel. And then I was doing some studying and some reading, and there's some other beliefs out there. One of the strong beliefs of the fruit that the gardener is looking for in this situation is the fruit of the Spirit. So our life should be producing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, you know, all that stuff. And so I just kept studying and saying, okay, God, what do you wanna say to us? Because I want every person in here to leave with this idea that my life needs to produce fruit, and that fruit is, we have an answer for it, right? And so that's what we're aiming at here this morning. So as I kept studying, I was just saying, okay, God, what is fruit? What is this fruit that you're looking for? And what I found is that the word or the phrase to bear fruit, it's just a synonym for the word result. Track with me. In other words, if I am connected to this vine as a result of the fact that I'm connected to this vine, something's gonna pop out the other side. As a result of this connection, something is going to be produced. What is that? Whatever that is what God is looking for. As we abide, as we stay connected, as a result of his DNA, his nature flowing through us, something's gonna pop out on the other side. Are you tracking with me? And whatever that is what the gardener's looking for. So just said, okay, God, well, if I do live a life that is connected, that is attached, if I am abiding, then what is that going to produce? I believe that it's gonna produce exactly what Jesus looked like. It's gonna produce in my life what it produced in Jesus's life. That my life is gonna look like Jesus's life. So I can confidently say to you this morning that if you're a believer, how many believers we have in the house? Okay, then the gardener wants fruit from you. The key to fruit bearing is what? Abiding, stay connected. And then the fruit that will be produced through that connection is a life that looks like Jesus. And I wanna give you four characteristics that I believe that mark Jesus's life that I think should mark our lives. I believe the fruit that God wants to produce through us and in us is, first of all, a correct passion, a deep love and devotion for the Father. One of the things that marked Jesus was he had deep love and devotion to the Father. He said, I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. I don't say anything unless I see the Father, I hear the Father say it. I'm for the Father. I'm aiming toward the Father. I love the Father. The Father loves me. There was a deep, passionate love for the Father. The greatest commandment is what? To love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Church, we need to fall in love with our Father. How do we do that? We stay connected. Don't grunt and strain. Don't start striving. I'm not preaching, go out there and love Jesus more. I'm saying connect more, pull into God more, pull into the vine more, and that what will be produced through us is a deep love and devotion for the Father. The second quality that I see showing up in Jesus's life that I believe should show up in ours is purity. Jesus lived a lifestyle that mirrored the values and character of his Father. And I believe as we abide in Jesus, as we maintain that connection, that we're gonna find that our morals, our character, our nature is gonna look like the Father's. It's gonna mirror what he wants, right? And so it's not about figuring out, remember how God didn't even want Adam and Eve messing with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? He said, you don't even need to know the difference between good and evil. All you need to know is me, right? And so I believe what God is saying to us, you just tie into Jesus. You just get as close as you can and connect with the Father in such a way that next thing you know, purity will come out. So what is the fruit? Let's define the fruit. We're defining the fruit that should be produced in our life. First of all, it's a correct passion. It's a deep love and devotion to the Father. The second thing is its purity. It's a lifestyle that mirrors the values and character of our Father. Number three, I believe that Jesus' priorities were correct, that his ultimate priority, remember, his love and devotion was to the Father, but his ultimate priority in life was this. Track with me, Christians, you ready? His ultimate priority was people. His priority was people. His priority was not self. His priority was not career. His priority was not success or advancement. His priority was people. So I believe that the fruit that the gardener is wanting to see produced in our life is, again, a life with correct priorities, where we are prioritizing others. We'll read later next week continue in this chapter. It's where we find that scripture: no greater love hath a man than a man lay down his life for a brother, right? And so the idea is the priority is others. So my passion is to God. I love him. I'm dedicated to him. I want to live a life of purity that mirrors his values. And I want to walk and live with the same priorities that the Father has. And that's for others, because there is, church, listen to me, as much as I want us to come in here and have a good experience, and if you're a first-time guest here, but you're already born again, we hope that you get connected. We hope you like us. We hope that you enjoy all this. But above any of that, above any of the comfort or somehow the appetites of us believers, there is a world out there that desperately needs the gospel. They need somebody to go and love on them, somebody to bring the word to them, somebody to bring the gospel to them, because they are perishing, church. There really is people dying and going to hell outside of our walls. And so as much as I love us Christians gathering together, equipping one another, edifying, encouraging one another so that we can enjoy our walk with God, we need to have the same priority that Jesus had, where he'll go out of his way to go through Samaria, even though he was a Jew and shouldn't have been there, but he goes to Samaria. He tells his disciples, I gotta go. I must go through Samaria. They don't know why, but he found a little woman out there at the well, and this was not a good woman. This is a woman with a bad reputation, but he didn't care. His priority was the kingdom. His priority was people, and so he went out of his way to love this woman. And there are people in your life, in your workplace, in your neighborhood that need you to love them. But church, we have got to get this understanding that our life needs to produce evangelism. Jesus commanded us, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go be a light. Go be salt. Open your mouth. Use the word of God that got you saved and give it to somebody else. People need it in our world. So another part of the fruit that the gardener wants to see in our lives is the same priority that Jesus. And finally, I believe Jesus lived with purpose, with the correct purpose, and then he lived for the advancement of his Father's kingdom. And so I believe what God is wanting to see in us, as again, not as we strive, but as we stay connected, I believe the fruit that's going to be produced in us is a deep passion for God, more than we love anything else. We sing these songs all the time, more than anything, I love you. But is it real? Could somebody else look at your life and say amen to what you're singing? Oh, Jesus, I love you more than anything. And your wife's sitting next to you going, what? You play golf 8 days a week. I'm sorry for all the golfers in the house. I'm sorry. You never turn the TV off and you love Jesus? Are you work all the time and you're just striving towards, and you love Jesus more than anything else? You chase money like, come on now, I'm meddling. Chasing money and power and success, but you're singing, oh, I love you, Jesus, more than anything, right? Again, there's just a balance I'm walking, because I'm not trying to push you into striving. Come on, get it right. I'm just saying, pull back into Jesus, right? Abide in that vine, abide in that vine, so that our love, our passion will match that of Jesus and purity. God wants us to live a pure lifestyle, but again, not through striving, but through abiding, so that our life mirrors the values of our Father. our priorities, where we prioritize people above ourselves, and where we live with purpose, understanding that God has called us to seek his kingdom first, right? And so moving, understanding that there's a kingdom that God is building. There's a kingdom that God is building. He has called us to be a part of it. And I think that's the fruit that God has in our lives, that wants us to bear in our lives. So to summarize, if you're a believer, the gardener wants to see fruit, wants to see your life produce something. So the key to that is to tie into Jesus, to live closely and connected with the Lord. That means we need to spend daily time in his word. That means we need to pray. We need to have an active prayer life. That means we need to give our heart to him and listen to him, spend time with him, meditate on him, think about him, be conscious of him every day, all day. There's this constant connection with God. And when we do, our life will begin to produce these things. And let me give you last closing thoughts. There's a scripture that we read. It's right at the end of our text. It says, so then if you ask anything in my name, it'll be done unto you. And we quote that a lot, but the context is for the branch that's connected and the branch that's producing fruit, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. But sometimes we want to live, I don't want to be connected. I'm not so interested in the connection, I'm not so interested in the fruit. Oh, but Lord, give me what I need, right? The promise is for the connection. Ask what you will. My Father will give it to you. It goes on to say later in the verse that all this happens so that your joy will remain. So Jesus is saying here, you just stay connected. Let your life produce this. Next thing you know, you'll be praying things, but you're praying my will. You're not praying out of your own lust or desires. You're, because of the deep connection, you're praying my heart, and I want to give you my heart. I mean, my heart and your heart, my will, your will. We're so intertwined where there's just this, I'm asking and he's giving, and there's connection there and there's life there and my joy is there. And next thing you know, I'm fulfilled. I'm not striving anymore. I'm not chasing the wrong things in life anymore. I'm fulfilled. Filled because this is what I was created to do. I was created to be a branch connected to the vine with the divine nature of God flowing through me. You just need to stop and realize for a minute, if you're a vine and you're connected, and if you're a branch and you're connected to the vine, then right now the divine life of God is flowing through you. The divine life of God is flowing through you. His nature is just flowing through you. Just flowing through you. And so I go home and I be a husband with the divine nature of God flowing through me. And next thing you know, I'm loving on my wife. I'm washing her with the word, loving her like she needs to be loved. Next thing you know, I'm going home and being a father with the divine nature of God flowing through me. And then I go to work with the divine nature of God flowing through me. So that coworker that's there, he's just reaping the benefits of the divine nature of God flowing through me. And then I go to Walmart, and the divine nature of God is flowing through me, right? So my desire, though, is we become such a tribe of people that says, I want my life to count. I want fruit produced in my life. So I'm just going to tie into the vine, and I'm going to let that divine nature produce this in me so that I can be a blessing to the world. You know what's going to happen when that happens? We are going to go evangelize. People are going to get saved. People are going to get baptized. The gospel is going to go forth as we stay connected to that. So this is what God wants in us. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop there. I could go more, but I'm going to stop there. So the conclusion of all this, how do we make fruit happen? Maintain the connection. Maintain the connection. Don't get separated. Stay close. Stay close to the body too. Stay close to the body. If you get out there and you're with the wrong people, don't be surprised when the wrong things show up. Right? Stay close to the body. We're not Jesus. We know that. Right? We're not Jesus and we don't have all the answers, but stay close to the body. If this isn't a body you can connect with, go find a body you can connect with and plug in. Stay close. We need each other, church. We need each other. And so stay connected. Hallelujah. As we're closing, I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. We've been talking about connection here this morning, and there may be people in here who say, Jody, I've been hearing the whole sermon, I've listened to all the talking, but I don't have a connection with Jesus. I don't know him as my Lord and Savior. Please still everything else that's going on in this room right now, still and answer this question. Do you know Jesus? Are you connected to the vine? If there's anybody in here right now who would say, I don't, I'm not connected, I don't know Jesus, would you show me your hand right now, quickly, boldly, shoot your hand up? Good. Anybody else? Good. Anybody else? Good. Anybody else? Good. We've had several people raise their hands. All right, I want you to lift your eyes and look at me. I'm going to give you the gospel in 30 seconds. You ready? You were born a sinner and on your way to hell. And if you live more than 5 minutes, then you did something to add to the fact that you're going to hell, right? We need a Savior. We were born with a need for a Savior. Jesus, perfect, didn't do anything wrong, but he died like he did, right? He died to pay the price for yours and my sins. And so all we have to do to become born again is believe on him, accept the work that he did for our lives. And Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, confess it with your mouth. So after it happens, tell somebody, speak up, right? Make a declaration. So it's just that simple. We always say it like this: salvation is really hard, but Jesus did the hard part. All we're doing is saying, I'm broken, so I accept you to heal me. I'm a sinner. I need to be purified, so I accept your blood as a purification, redemption to heal me, right? And so it's just as simple as that. So we always lead people in a prayer, but I like to tell people it's not magic words. There's no magic in this prayer. The magic happens in here, right? And so we want to lead you in a prayer, and everybody in this room is going to pray this same prayer, okay? But the words don't make the difference. It's the heart that makes the difference, right? And so right now, everyone in this room, we're going to join with you, and we're going to pray. Repeat after me. Let's pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for going to the cross and shedding your blood so that I could become saved. I receive right now the price that you paid for me in Jesus' name. And I declare that I am now born again. I'm saved and I'm part of the body of Christ in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't we appreciative for those who got saved? I'm gonna pray a closing prayer over you, then I'm gonna turn it over to Brady really quick. You ready? Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the 15th chapter of John and what you're speaking to us through this. Lord, challenge us in Jesus' name. Challenge us with your word. Shape us, change us, and help us to become the fruit-bearing people that you've designed us to be in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to go to victoryworshipcenter.com to get involved.